Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Most of the talking heads, political style anyway, were all about what happened this past week with the Supreme Court. We'll re-rack some of that, but we've got some new news on Edward Snowden, the NSA leaker. His father speaks, actually sends a letter to the Attorney General, Eric Holder. What did he demand? What's going on? I can tell you he's still stuck in Russia, believe it or not. So Kate Delaney hanging out with you as we stretch things and lay it out for you this upcoming week. A couple of sad things right off the top. As somebody who had several family members who were volunteer firemen and having covered many, many stories involving firefighters, it's incredibly sad to tell you right at the top of the show that 19 are dead in Arizona. This just shows you why these wildfires are nothing to trifle with and just how tough it is in trying to put them out. So it's definitely confirmed. We knew it was pretty bad. It's called the Yarnell Hill Fire. It came out, broke out on Friday, about northwest of Phoenix, if you wanted to get a location, a picture in your head. It's 1,000 acres, just a couple of homes, but lots of evacuations in that area. And unfortunately, with the way the forest was and ultimately what happened with these firefighters, I mean, 19, that is a huge number for one fire. So far, there have been 43 firefighter fatalities in 2013. So think of the enormity of the 19. There have been a total of 83 firefighters that died last year on duty. So we are way ahead of that number. And it's just gut-wrenching for those families. They are brave, brave people to go into these areas. And the town of Prescott is just ripped in half over this. I mean, the vast majority of these guys were from Prescott. It reminds me of the first responders in a different way from West Texas, or in 9/11, if you will, different circumstances, but entire departments wiped out in one fell swoop. And this is what the case is here, because I'll reiterate this. It was from mostly one department, a few others too, but 19 total. That's how bad this fire was and how deadly, as they try to form a ring around it. It's one of those things that, you know, you see the flashing images on the tube when you're flipping around, you give a couple of seconds to the nightly news if you're home in time, or flip on one of the cable networks, and you see these fires and they almost look the same. Something in California, something in New Mexico, something in Colorado, and something in Arizona. And the one thing they do have in common is they can be so, so deadly. But it's rare to have that many firefighters in, you know, just to be eliminated in one fell swoop like that. It shows you, again, the enormity of that fire and how tough it is for them to get this out. Very, very, very tough. All right, I said I was going to fill you in on the blanks with Ed Snowden, and we'll do that, too, right at the top here. So here's the scoop on Snowden. He's apparently had contact with his father. His father sends a note to Eric Holder, talks about demands Snowden has, and if the demands are met, that he'll come back to the United States. So what the three conditions are is if he isn't detained or imprisoned prior to trial, if he's not subject to a gag order, and he would be tried in a venue of his choosing. Now, his father, a guy named Lon Snowden, sent that letter to Eric Holder. What do you think the chances are that any of those conditions will be met? I'm going to say zero chances that those conditions will be met. And in the meantime, what's happening with Snowden is it seems as though things are getting pretty dicey for him. We're going to let you hear this hour what Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, has to say about what's happening with him. But he is stuck in Russia. So Ecuador is backing off the asylum thing little by little, apparently not interested in hosting him. So Vladimir Putin isn't going to let him leave the airport now. At this point, I thought he was in transition. Remember, at one point in the week, last week, Putin was saying, well, he's not even in Russia. He's in our transit area. Now things have really, really changed. So the president of Ecuador, Rafael Correa, said that the Ecuadorian documents that were issued to Snowden were a mistake and that he is Russia's problem. So he changed his mind. He said he's Russia's guy, not our guy. Something made them repel this idea, which I'm very, very, very surprised at, because Correa hates the United States. So I think anything to poke the United States in the face would be the direction that he would have gone. But somehow something spooked him from this, and he said, you know, he doesn't have a passport. I don't know the Russian laws. I don't know if he can leave the airport, but I understand he can't. So he's part of what Russia has to deal with, not us. So how about that? It looked like he was going to try to get safe passage there. It seemed like it was a done deal. But I guess as one day went on and then eclipsed into another day, the situation got much more dire for him. So at this point, because he faces criminal charges, he's a fugitive from justice, according to the United States. He had his passport revoked. He's in nowhere man's land for sure. And if the Russians turn him over to the United States, which I will be very interested to see what Putin plays here. I'm sure Putin is just seething at this point, because with all of his bragging about what was happening in the situation and some of the cuts that he made to the United States, now he is stuck. He is stuck in the situation where he's got this kid and he's in a state of limbo and he has to decide what to do. And the fallout will be on Russia. How about that? So Julian Assange was on ABC's This Week, and I think that was one of the better interviews that I saw, and we're going to let you hear little snippets of that, like I said, coming up around the bend as Assange doesn't hold back and just slams the U.S. And we know where we stand as far as the United States. The administration is saying, listen, he's got to be sent back to the U.S. Putin so far is refusing to send him back. He's saying he's a free person, but now it's all mixed up here as to what the play is going to be, because I think that Putin overplayed his hand and figured that he would be able to kick him back to Ecuador. And since the Ecuadorians are saying, no, we can't do that. He doesn't have a valid passport, and forget the papers that we were going to give him. So now they're definitely stuck in a situation where Putin has to make the move. I mean, the move is his, and he cannot not do anything. He has to do something. So either he turns him over, or he looks for another country, or another country looks for him, and that all works out. But it's not looking good. It's not looking good. Also coming up this hour, for all of the stories we've heard about Guantanamo, a huge story breaks in the New York Post that the inmates at Guantanamo are not skinny, being smashed about, being denied all kinds of things. In fact, they're pampered and overweight. So how about that? As the world turns in that little space in Cuba as to what to do with those prisoners, there are definitely some mixed reports of their conditions. All right, stay with us. More odds and ends and things to flip here and there. Stay with us. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Quick emails here. One from Jules, who says, wow, Snowden has run out of gas fast. Kate, I heard you say something last week about the fact that whether or not he's a hero, and thank goodness whistleblowing and telling everybody what really the NSA is doing, in the end, he will be the forgotten one because he'll do the jail time. Yeah, I really think he's not going to end up on that list where, you know, Daniel Ellsberg, hey, Pentagon Papers, he's out speaking, giving lectures at colleges. This is not going to be the fate for this kid. It's not. They're going to get him. You know, some people seem to think in the sources that I have, they have a conspiracy bent, really feeling like Ron Paul, the former congressman from Texas, that he's going to get killed, that somebody's going, they're going to off him somehow. I don't really think that at all. I think if we're talking about our government, I think the government really, really would like to get him, slap the charges on him, and then boom, that's it. Just like Bradley Manning, poof, he's gone. I think that's ultimately what the goal is. So Julian Assange, who is the founder of WikiLeaks, has been his greatest friend, his greatest ally, trying to surround him with knowledgeable people, attorneys, etc., helping to work to find safe passage for him somewhere else. And especially now it's important to Snowden because he's screwed. He's stuck. I mean, you're stuck in limbo when you're sitting there at the Moscow airport. How much baklava can you eat? How much sympathy can you keep getting from other corners of the world? But Russia's not really reeling you in. I think, as I said at the top, that Vladimir Putin shot off his mouth, made a couple of cockeyed comments toward the United States, thinking, yeah, I'm going to spear them and then let them go to Ecuador. So I'm not dealing with it, really. I'm just the interloper, and I refuse to give them up, but I don't have to deal with this head on. Now Russia has to deal with it head on, and they got to make the move here. So Julian Assange talked about Snowden has more secrets, and they're going to be published, and they're safe, and it's going to happen, and also that the United States is dead wrong because his passport never, ever should have been revoked.
To take someone's principal component of citizenship, their passport, away from them is a disgrace. Mr. Snowden hasn't been convicted of anything. There are no international warrants out for his arrest. There is no stopping the publishing process at this stage. Great care has been taken to make sure that Mr. Snowden can't be pressured by any state to stop the publication process.
All right, so he can say what he wants. He's waving the flag. He's trying to help him. But in the end, Assange cannot stop what the United States tries to do. And he's in this airport zone. What happens? Because there is absolutely, and for the United States, by the way, to get back, you know, to try in some way to get back Snowden, there's no deal happening. So there's nothing, in other words, that they can play let's make a deal with. Because all the whole prisoner thing, the Russians that were given back, have already been tossed back to Russia. So a former national security contractor says, listen, you know, basically he's just biding his time in that airport. He's biding his time. So is the president the person that has to be responsible for kicking this door open in upcoming speeches because he's really backed away from this? Or not? I mean, the U.S. has extradited a bunch of people, but this is a crazy situation because the person that we're talking about has revealed that the United States is engaging in massive surveillance programs of many, many foreign countries and governments. Because remember, not for nothing, we keep focusing on the U.S. and all the information, the data of ours that's out there, all this other kind of stuff. But what about these other governments? So if you're the other governments, what's your point of view? You know, what do they think really in Russia? What do they really think in China? They would say, yeah, they would just let the, they would say probably what their governments are doing makes sense. Why would they possibly give up Snowden? China lets him go. He flies off, basically. And the Russians are sitting here in this situation at this point where, you know, this isn't the Cold War anymore. Maybe there's a way. How does he possibly get out of this? Where does he run? He's got to be worried. Obviously, sending notes to his father. His father trying to deal with the Justice Department to no avail because nothing's happened there. So at this point, he's swarmed and he's in the thick of it. And coming up later this week, we're going to talk to some other people who have been in sticky situations just like Snowden, talk more about whistleblowers, and those who end up becoming iconic and heroic in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of their people, and those who just for some reason don't make the grade. They don't get to be Tarzan and beat their chest and be the hero. Instead, they go in a much different direction. Coming up in our next segment on America Tonight, in our America Tonight re-rack, a conversation with Horace Cooper. He's a constitutional expert, and he's part of Project 21. He's a black conservative. He comes on the air with us maybe twice a month, and he has plenty to say about the Supreme Court rulings this past week. In fact, he was just on Bill Maher's show a couple of days ago and talked about some of the rulings, DOMA and some other things. And what he told us before that was similar to what he talked about on Maher's HBO show. So it was pretty interesting to see him do that and watch him in the den of liberals, because Maher, to his credit, it's his, he has a great show. He has a balanced, usually has a balanced approach where he has his conservatives and he has liberal and talk about all the things that are happening, popping in the news that week. So I thought Horace did a good job and held his own. So you'll hear our conversation with him. He was Project 21 filed an amicus brief when it was part of this whole thing with the voting rights and whatnot. And he talks about that. He talks about the Supreme Court and where that was headed and why that was such an important decision. All right, mixed in between all of this, you have, while the Snowden thing is blowing up, when some other things are happening, some of the big rulings are, I'll say opinions, it's not rulings, opinions are being handed down from the Supreme Court now that they've skedaddled, which is what they do. Isn't it interesting? If you're somebody who only covers the Supreme Court, you know that you're okay. You're kind of like a paparazzi photographer. You're hanging out, you're waiting, but you know it's okay because they're going to drop this all at the very last possible moment. And every single year, like clockwork, anything controversial happens at the end of the various terms that they're doing. And they won't get back to the robes again until the fall. They won't do that until the fall. So the president is in South Africa, and Nelson Mandela, a lot of the focus is on Nelson Mandela. You know, he's 94 years old, do you believe it? And he's in critical condition. He's been that way. Everybody has been to visit him family-wise, and now that can be said of the president of the United States. So he's critical. They're watching. The family's pressing and waiting to see what's going to happen. They're already talking about the remains of, you know, his three deceased children, that they should be moved back to a family gravesite. And apparently this is all getting ready for Nelson Mandela's remains and where they'll stay, so that they would all be united, if you will, in death. And I think I mentioned this last week. You can expect that will be a who's who kind of funeral for Mandela. Thousands, I think, of people will come out for that, but world leaders of every sort will be there. And, you know, it's a matter of time, apparently. That's what the doctors are saying anyway, from Johannesburg at this point. All right, Horace Cooper on the other side of the wall.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with nature's natural anti-parasitic, antiviral, antifungal, antibiotic, Allicin, the heart of garlic. Get concentrated protection with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products. One capsule of Alli-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills with no garlic breath. Alli-Ban has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with three times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to Alli-C.com, spelled Alli-C.com, or call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. That's 855-255-4246. Protect yourself with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products at Alli-C.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. GCNRadioNetwork.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit RNAfreesample.com. That's RNAfreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at RNAfreesample.com.
Big ruling today from the Supreme Court, the decision to strike down race preferences, you could say that, in college admissions. What's interesting here is the different points of view on it. We're talking about Fisher versus University of Texas at Austin, decided today. The plaintiff was Abigail Fisher, who was white, who alleged racial preferences caused her 2008 admissions application to the University of Texas at Austin to be rejected, pretty much in favor of somebody who they said was a lesser qualified minority candidate. And that was that race-based admissions, if you remember, and we've talked about this before, and we've had people here on America Tonight who've talked about in the state of Texas where our satellite facility is. In the 90s, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, in a different decision, you know, said that, boom, that was outlawed after that. So here we go with the Supreme Court, and they said it was a compelling state interest for classroom diversity in the ruling in an earlier case in 2003. But in this case, that's what we care about here, a much different ruling as they kick it back down. On the show with us, very pleased to welcome Horace Cooper. He's an adjunct fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research, co-chairman of Project 21, National Advisory Board, and a legal commentator. We've had him on before. You guys love him. Horace, thanks so much for popping on again with us here on America Tonight.
Yeah, I love coming on your program. You've got an amazing audience, and it's great topics to get to talk about.
So let's talk about this. This Project 21 loves this decision. Tell us why.
Well, we were happy to see that the Supreme Court sent this case back to the Fifth Circuit and directed them to use a new standard of review. How courts assess the policy questions that come before them are often outcome determinative. And in this particular case, we believe that the outcome is going to be a victory for Ms. Fisher. The strict scrutiny standard is simply a measure of how a judge or appellate court judge is going to examine any policy undertaken by a university that involves race. Because of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, which were adopted post-Civil War, the Constitution itself now says you're not supposed to use race as a basis for withholding or providing a policy or a benefit or a subsidy or any kind of admissions to any public entity. The University of Texas hoped that it was going to be able to include race among a multiple number of other options, maybe height, maybe wealth, maybe geographical origin. They claimed they had what they call their holistic test, and race was just one among several other options that they used. Ms. Fisher said, I applied, and I had community service. I had a fairly good score on my achievement test. I had a fairly decent academic record in high school, but I didn't make the automatic admission cut, but I did better than the people that you admitted under this alternative standard. And it looks to me like the only reason I didn't make it was that I'm white and they're black.
Yeah. Your Project 21 was part of a friend of the court legal brief that was submitted to the Supreme Court on Fisher's behalf, and there was the Pacific Legal Foundation for one, and others praised really that brief as the most persuasive overall of similar briefs, because as you know, there was tons filed in this, in the case against race preferences. Why is that? What were the highlights from the brief that you can share with us, especially the word diversity was mentioned several times?
Our view was that no school ought to be able to hide its race-based decision-making behind the word diversity or behind the word tolerance or behind the words affirmative action. We wanted to make sure as much as possible if universities stuck to their purpose, which is especially the publicly funded ones, which is to provide a service to all eligible applicants. We argued that the University of Texas was not doing that, and that we were disguising or attempting to disguise the use of race in this mix of all of the other terms that they use. As Ms. Fisher points out, if your scores are the same as the minority matriculants, your community service is the same or better, and all of your other academics are the same or better, why would you get picked or not get picked, and they get picked? If the only issue really is, at the end of the day, was the race, you're all the way back to this issue of the government making the race of the individual the basis for the decision. We don't believe you should make it a lot or a little. We don't believe that if Jim Crow had some efficiencies and so they only slightly gave whites an advantage over blacks, that would have made it okay. We also don't believe that if a program makes it slightly better to be an applicant who is a minority over a non-minority, that that makes it somehow okay. The Bakke decision in the 70s, the Grutter decision in 2003, mm-hmm. together make it very clear that the way any affirmative action program is going to work at the university level, it is the duty of the state entity, in this case the University of Texas, to show that the only and essential way that they can accomplish their diversity goals are to use, just tangentially, race as one of their factors. Cannot be a pretext for just getting goals and timetables and quotas. This case is telling because Texas for almost 15 years was meeting its diversity goal simply by having a standard that said if you're in the top 10% of your class, regardless of the high school that you went to in Texas, you were going to be eligible to be admitted. And that had achieved quite a number of blacks and Latinos and other minority groups from going. The university shifted to what I'm calling a hybrid model, where they allow most admissions to come through that top 10% standard, but then they reserve a remainder for this diversity mix, which apparently really is only about trying to get as many minority participants to matriculate as possible.
Yeah, do you think... Well, first of all, you know that Al Sharpton's having a heart attack over this when he hears people like you talk and say that, Horace. Because he's like, brother, what are you saying? Are you kidding me? I listened to Al Sharpton today, and Al has done many good things in his life. But boy, he is furious over this and says this is so backwards and is taking us in the wrong direction and does not promote racial harmony. Do you think that...
I think it's just the opposite. That's probably why I refer to him as Al Nato Sharpton. he very frequently resorts to race baiting and divisiveness, and these programs do much the same. I'll give a quick example of how the same program hurts two parties. If you're a minority applicant and you are recruited to go to a school very rigorous like MIT or Caltech, many of those applicants might actually not only succeed, but prosper and thrive, graduate cum laude at the University of Missouri, at, say, the University of Texas, at, say, a school in Florida, or any number of mainstream high but not the most high and most difficult and rigorous schools. What they do, however, when they come to Caltech and when they go to MIT, they fail out. Those students, quite frequently, and these studies are showing it overwhelmingly, and there's far more interest, as an aside, in getting them through the front door than making sure they actually put the cap and gown on. But those students fail and invariably falsely conclude they're not college material. Mm-hmm. Now, when the Caltech students and the MIT students who are admitted through the normal procedures show up, these are the most exceptional students around. The ones that can't make it there through the normal process aren't dumb, aren't ill-equipped, they just aren't the most exceptional. Well, we have a situation where the most exceptional consistently during their college career watch minorities fail, giving them the false impression from personal experience that minorities aren't equipped to compete. If you simply said to Caltech, you can admit whoever you want to, but mm-hmm. what we're asking you to do is admit people who can actually compete. It benefits all the parties. It's bad to tell a person who could graduate magna cum laude from the University of Texas, but they failed at MIT, for them to think that they're not college material, and for them to go on in a lifetime of career, which is what we see. We are seeing people take 5 and 6 years to try to figure out what their new career and skill set is going to be since, quote, they're not college material. And also, we let our elites and brightest be under the false impression that minorities can't compete. What we need is a program that's very simple, and it just says we are going to admit those who can compete, those who meet the excellent schedule, whatever that might be at wherever school that might be. Some schools is going to be an easy test. Some schools is going to be a moderate test. Some schools is going to be an exceptional test. But if you let the students meet whatever that standard is and then attend, you're not going to have this problem. The thing is, the progressive communities have what President Bush called the bigotry of low expectations. They actually don't believe minorities can compete at Caltech. They don't believe we'd ever have people at MIT if you just simply got rid of affirmative action. And it turns out that's just not true. The same argument was made about the University of Texas, but for 15 years you saw minorities participate under the standard of I was in the top 10% of my class. Now,
right.
For full disclosure, I was born in the state of Texas. I am a graduate of the University of Texas, and I attended during the period where a top 10% was necessary to be able to attend.
There you go. Great example. Horace Cooper, thanks so much.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Microplant Powder Gold. Microplant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Microplant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Tonight, Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you. Thanks so much for joining in on the conversation. I'll tell you what, in odds and ends, one of the true highlights I thought of the time I, one of the times I went to Vegas was seeing this show called Ka. It was a Cirque du Soleil performance, you know, that kind of splintered off into so many different Cirque du Soleils. Now there may be 10 different shows, I'm not even sure. But this one is put on at MGM Grand, and it's incredible. And on my honeymoon, I went to see Ka, and I remember thinking when I was watching these amazing acrobatic feats, how do these people do it? How are they not flying off the ceiling, even with these wires and everything else that they have around them, and how it's all staged out? Well, for the first time in 30 years, they had a performer that was killed. Just a 31-year-old. Her name was Sarah Guillard, and she was pronounced dead. I mean, you know, before midnight on Saturday. She was in the middle of a performance. What they say happened, it was during the show's finale. How sad is that? Which is mind-blowing, this finale. And in the scene, performers go all the way up to 50 feet on the air. You know, 50 feet up in the air. And they have lines that are controlled by wireless remote controls. That's how they do it. So she was being hoisted up on the side of the stage. And just as that was happening, boom, she fell down. You know, people just, they could hear screaming and groaning. And they say they could hear somebody crying from the stage. And so initially people that were sitting there thought that it was part of the show and then realized it wasn't. I mean, this was a woman who specialized as an acrobat and an aerialist, and she had done this for like 20 years for, you know, for Cirque du Soleil and whatnot. So it was shocking. It was a weird slip of the wire of her somehow not getting in the wire correctly. So they canceled the show indefinitely. They're working and trying to figure out, you know, piecing it all together. When it happened, that was the end of the show, obviously, and the place cleared, but it was the finale, and it's, wow, just terrible, terrible thing. Ka is an Egyptian word or belief or whatever that means a spiritual copy of the body that's with people in this life and the next. That's what the word Ka comes from and how Cirque du Soleil picked it, but I think the founder of Cirque du Soleil is really shook up by this and has said, you know, we're trying to do everything we can, and we're reminded with great humility. He released a statement in respect how extraordinary our artists are each and every night, and our focus is just to support each other. Because it is extraordinary. It's mind-blowing. I remember I had friends that went to see one of the Cirque du Soleil shows, and, of course, this was when people didn't really know what it was. And I remember saying, well, what is it? You know, I've been to the circus before. Is this just a bunch of aerial backs? And they're like, no, it's unbelievable. The contortionists, the things they do, the show that they put on. And it was. I saw a couple of the different shows, and each and every time I was just completely wowed. And I don't know, it's maybe you get lulled into this sense of security where you think they've done this over and over again. So it's really shaken those people up. But it's an amazing show, and it's too bad that that happened. So that's certainly one of those odds and ends, crazy, crazy things. All right, something else that I would throw into odds and ends is this story about the House panel that's trying to bring back the IRS official that waived the Fifth Amendment rights. I mean, now we've had two of them that actually have done that, if you'll recall. So Lois Lerner, though, many of you called in to talk about Lois Lerner. She's on people's minds since she was running that Cincinnati office that denied so many of those, non-profit claims or 501c3s, not tax-exempt claims, is what happened there, where they had over 300 that were just tossed around and ignored or pushed off or asked ridiculous questions on purpose. So if you remember, she waived her right to self-incrimination at a prior hearing. So now they're saying that they want to bring her back and they want to question her some more. Democrats accuse the guy who really wants this to happen, Daryl Issa, who's the Republican chair of the House Oversight Committee. They're accusing him of a witch hunt, and that is crazy because threatening her Fifth Amendment rights doesn't seem correct. Issa says, well, no, I think that she could assert her Fifth Amendment rights again if she wants, but we want to drag her back up here. And it could ultimately mean they could cite her for contempt of Congress. You know, there's these legal wranglings that may apply here with Lerner. She was the one, though, that headed the IRS group that went after the conservative groups and other groups, by the way, that were looking for that tax-exempt status, doing the whole thing of the extra scrutiny. And so we really don't know how far up this goes. And obviously, somebody said to do that. Somebody put a memo out. Was it her? Was it somebody else? Where did she get that information from? It had to come on high. I mean, that's it. The people did not just make it up themselves. They got the directives to do that, to push them aside, to look at them closer, to see what kind of political leanings they had, that kind of stuff. So get to the bottom of it, for goodness sake. Why are we wasting more taxpayer money to go round and round on this merry-go-round. I mean, let's get to the bottom of it. This back-and-forth political nonsense bickering has gotten old. It's, you know, it's easy. Who, what, where, when, why? What happened? Who ultimately called for the directive to knock down those groups? It cannot be that hard. Somebody's protecting somebody. So if it's her, let's figure out who it is. You know, how many groups, at least 80 of the groups, waited for 120 days for a final decision. And it was all about the whole political leanings thing. And then there were another 200 that also had to wait. So, you know, how many altogether, we don't even really know. We know for sure that the 80 had to wait 120. We know that. And we know that Democrats also were targets in some cases. So Danny Werfel, who's now heading up the IRS and the FBI and the Inspector General, are looking at these interviews of the IRS people involved in the targeting. And they're also talking about criminal behavior. So this is really something we need to know and get to the bottom of if we're talking about charges. So who are the people that are going to be charged for obstructing what? Justice? Is that what's happening here? We don't know. We don't know. But I hope before the summer recess we get the end of that story, or at least what we think the end of that story is anyway, because it's tragic that this was pushed off, and what a stupid mistake if it was somebody who decided we'll do this so that more money doesn't get pumped into the Republican side of the presidential, you know, race. It doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. I mentioned at the top of the show that Barack Obama, the Prez, was in Africa. He went to see Nelson Mandela in the hospital. He also pledged $7 billion to help the frequent power blackout problems in Africa. And he's got an initiative called Power Africa, and they say the money will be distributed over the next 5 years. He made that announcement during the trip and says, you know, access to electricity is fundamental. 2/3 of the population of sub-Sahara Africa lack access to electricity, and that includes like 85%. This was part of his speech, living in rural areas, and says, you know, this is what we're doing. So, I don't know. I'm thinking how much money, and I think there are great causes in Africa, but I'm just thinking, how much money can the United States afford to give away as we start to peel back the layers? I mean, you know, aren't we still broke, or do they find money someplace else? I'm just saying. I don't understand. Any thoughts on the show, ship them to me, americatonight.net.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.